Fierce Athlete Podcast.
We are female athletes being raw and real about the joys and struggles of life, both on and off the field.
We share how faith can both heal our wounds and reveal true beauty. Play fierce.
Pray fierce.
Live fierce. Welcome everyone to the Fierce Athlete Podcast. This is Sam Kelly and I am super excited for today's topic-based podcast. I have with me Marie DiCecco. Marie, welcome to the podcast.
Hi Sam, great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So we are continuing our topic-based series and today we're going to talk about the female menstrual cycle and athletic performance and how the two relate. And Marie is an expert on this. She also has a sports background, you know, played many sports growing up, but has coached at both the high school and college level and coached multiple sports, field hockey, softball, and volleyball. She was a health educator for 35 years, holds a master's of science degree, and more recently has become a fertility care practitioner, teaching the Creighton model of fertility care. So she has a lot of wisdom for us today. I'm super excited. Marie has become a dear friend of mine over the last couple years. You know, there's a lot of stigma, I think, surrounding the female menstrual cycle. It's something that, you know, has all sorts of negative labels and, you know, we'd say that time of month or Aunt Flo is visiting or just, you know, different, different expressions and things. And but the beauty of the female body is something that we want to explore and something we want to explore deeper. And a couple years ago, Marie and I met and I had a desire to understand my own body better. And so began to meet, along with a dear friend, we began to meet with Marie and just learn about our cycles, learn about how to care for ourselves, learn about the beauty of our bodies, learn about how that related to our athletic performance and what we were trying to do. And so I just thought it would be a great topic for our listeners because I think a lot of us out there don't have a adequate understanding of the way that God created our female bodies and the beauty of them. So, yeah, with that, let me turn it over to you, Marie. You know, why fertility care? Why have you been so, why has your heart been captivated by the human body? Why do you desire to teach this to young women and to women that you work with?
Yeah, Sam, great question. Like you said, I've been involved in education for 35 years, talking about the body systems and how they work. And it's just amazing how much detail is involved in the body systems, how they're all connected and working together constantly. And it's amazing that people do not understand more about the body. Now, I do because I studied it, but the average person doesn't have a whole lot of knowledge about it. And like you said, in general, the menstrual cycle with a female body is absolutely amazing how it works. Everything is designed perfectly in the body to work a certain way. Now, there are times where people try to adjust how the body works, and that's really not a good thing. Mm. It's not the way it's designed. You always want to go with how the body is designed to get the most benefit out of it. Mm-hmm. And there are also times where things happen within the body itself that need to be adjusted, but not by having adjusted it yourself, but letting the body take its course. And if adjustments need to happen, so be it. Then you make those adjustments. But if people don't know how the body works and they try to do things to change it, well, that just changes the whole chemistry of the body, the whole metabolism of the body. And then they don't find any benefit in doing that. Mm. So again, people put things in their body that they should not necessarily put into their body. Let it work the way it should. Mm. And it gives you the best benefit.
Yeah.
I mean, the body is just amazing. The menstrual cycle itself. During the menstrual cycle in the female reproductive system, there are times during that cycle where different hormones are being released to do very specific things. Mm. And if you try to adjust that, then things don't work the way they should. Mm. So with the athlete, you're more prone for injury at different times during the cycle if you try to adjust that. So throughout the cycle, when different hormones are being released, for example, estrogen and progesterone, the two predominant female sex hormones, are being released at certain times during that cycle for things to happen. So when you're talking about training and the athlete, it's amazing what they're finding now as far as diet and the hormones, how they're related to exercise and increased exercise and muscle strength and endurance. So it's amazing. So we'll get in a little bit to that, if you don't mind. We'll just touch on that a little bit. But let me just give you the example and how the actual menstrual cycle works.
That'd be great, yeah.
So there are four phases to the menstrual cycle. The first, the menstrual cycle actually starts the first day the female has her period and ends the day before she has her period again.
Okay.
So typically anywhere from 1 to 35 days. But you also have to know that with the female menstrual cycle, people don't realize this. A lot of times it's not the same every single month.
Mm.
People used to think that the menstrual cycle is 28 days long. And halfway through the cycle, you ovulate, where the egg is released from the ovary. Well, that's not necessarily true.
Mm.
And I used to teach that for years until I went to be educated to become a fertility care practitioner. I realized that, oh my gosh, what I was teaching for many years was really not true. So the cycle varies from anywhere from 1 to 35 days, and it can vary month to month. But during that cycle, hormones are being released to allow things to happen. So the first part of the cycle is when the menses begin. The female has her period, 1 to 5 days typically. After that, there's something called the follicular phase. And what that means is every single egg in each ovary has a little follicle that covers it. And during that follicular phase, the follicle is getting ready to open up to release an egg. Okay, for that to happen, certain hormones have to be released. The number one hormone is estrogen. When estrogen reaches its peak during the follicular phase, that, for an athlete, is the best time to do weightlifting programs. Intense programs. So what happens is you're going to use that estrogen as an athlete. You're going to use the estrogen to actually increase, help increase muscle mass.
Mm.
So it's during the first, you know, 1 to 10 days where that's going to happen within the cycle. So at that time, you want to increase carbohydrates. Because also at that time, insulin sensitivity is increased. So if you know anything about carbohydrates, okay, carbohydrates, complex and simple carbohydrates, are broken down in the body. So when you first eat complex carbohydrates, let's say, you eat the complex carbs, your body digests them. They're broken down to glucose molecules. The body cannot store glucose. So it has to be taken into your muscles and liver and stored as glycogen.
Mm.
And they're stored there. When your body needs them, they're converted back from glycogen to glucose, travel through your blood, and your body uses them for energy. So glucose is insulin, right? So at this time, when estrogen is high in the follicular phase, your body's more prone to use the insulin or the glucose more efficiently.
Mm.
So, for that reason, taking complex carbohydrates or simple carbohydrates during the follicular phase when estrogen is high, your body uses it very efficiently.
Wow.
So, at that time, if you're an athlete in training or just a recreational athlete, it's during that time at the beginning of your menstrual cycle that you want to use taking more complex carbs or simple carbs and do weight training. That's when you see the most benefits.
Mm.
Okay.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
People didn't know that.
No.
Like, nobody knows that.
Nobody knows that.
So, and honestly, I didn't know that until recently when I did more research on it. Now, the second phase of the menstrual cycle is called, it's ovulation. Okay, for the listeners not aware of that, ovulation is when the egg is released from the ovary. At that point, estrogen is at its highest peak. Because there's also hormones called luteinizing hormone and follicle stimulating hormone that assist in ovulation.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as estrogen goes, that's when it's at its highest peak. Now, at that point, that's when people see the most benefit in their weight training program.
Mm.
There's actually 11% increase in like quadriceps strength and hand grip strength that they actually didn't test on.
Whoa.
Isn't that crazy?
That's so crazy.
Yeah.
We'll just schedule our games for
seriously,
when we're ovulating,
exactly.
You know, competitions.
Exactly. But you know, competitions are good to schedule. If you're a marathon runner, you can't really schedule a marathon.
Right.
But we'll talk later about that in a little bit. But just when estrogen is increased, that's when you're going to get the most benefit as far as strength training goes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the trick. With ovulation, you have the peak in estrogen, but then as soon as estrogen peaks, it drops and progesterone peaks. Okay. At that change right there during ovulation, that's when you're also going to see most injuries as far as torn ACLs and so on.
Wow.
Because what happens is collagen metabolism is compromised at that time. So it's recommended that people take collagen supplements during that time. But how do you know when that time is? Well, you do something called charting, which we'll get to also.
Great.
So at that time, you're more prone to ACL injuries. And it's just, I'm just curious to find out, because I know I tore my ACL. I know you tore your ACL.
Yep.
And we were talking about this before. It's interesting to find out if we tore our ACLs during that time frame.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mean
I wasn't
long
charting,
ago.
Didn't know yeah, where
I
am. Yeah.
I had no idea what charting was then. So it'd be interesting to find that out, though. So at that time, during ovulation, when estrogen increases and progesterone starts to kick in, you will see more injuries. So collagen replacement is probably a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, you have what's called the luteal phase, which is after ovulation. And what happens there is that your progesterone has increased, and you might have noticed also, and you have done charting, so you might have noticed this, that you also have, you feel warmer during your luteal phase. Mm-hmm. Your temperature increases slightly by 1 degree. That's because of progesterone. So at that time, it's recommended to take in more fats, okay? And mm-hmm. do more, as far as activity goes, do more like moderate exercise, like moderate strength training, more aerobic type exercises.
Wow.
Using more oxygen, okay? Sure. So long distance type things, that's when you're gonna get your better effect. So at that point, if you're strength training, that's probably a good time to actually just kind of let your body repair.
Sure.
Okay, take in more protein, let your body repair at that time. You're not gonna get see a whole lot of benefit of an actual strength training workout. You're gonna feel sluggish and tired.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't wanna kick back and do nothing. So that's a good time to do more aerobic type activities.
Yeah.
And that's all due to the hormones in the cycle. Progesterone allows you to do more aerobic type activities. Mm-hmm. You can see a lot of benefit aerobically. Estrogen allows the body to do more strength training. Wow. And that's during the first phase of the cycle. First two phases of the cycle, basically. During the follicular phase and ovulation. And then from ovulation, after that, the luteal phase, you're going to see more benefits from doing aerobic activities.
So cool.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
People also see an increase in they crave carbohydrates during what's called the luteal phase, the end of the cycle. They
crave female cravings.
Exactly. Now, if someone's just a recreational runner or they're training for a marathon, yeah, taking more carbohydrates during that time.
Sure.
Okay, you can because you're going to burn them, obviously. Mm-hmm. And if you're a marathon runner, you're going to need the carbs.
Yeah.
Okay, marathon runners know that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not training for anything during the luteal phase, the end of the cycle, then cut back on the carbs and try to take in more fats. Okay, so but again, people don't realize that it's so cool that your body regulates itself, and there are specific times during the female menstrual cycle where it benefits you to do different activities because of the hormones in your body.
Yeah.
Hormones control everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something else, Sam, people don't realize. Hormones control everything in the body.
Mm.
And the hypothalamus in your brain and the pituitary gland control the hormone release. So it's amazing the benefits you can get during a training program if you only know what's happening with your cycle.
Mm.
So people need to use it to their advantage.
Yeah.
And not think, oh my gosh, I'm going to have my period, that's horrible. No, no, no. Turn it around and use it to your advantage. And think to yourself, okay, well, what's going on when I'm having my period? You know, you feel crappy. You might have cramps and things like that. But how am I going to use that if I'm an athlete to my advantage?
Mm.
Am I going to work out then? Am I going to rest? And again, typically in the beginning of your cycle, during menstruation and during your follicular phase, that's a good time to actually do strength training.
Mm.
And people don't see that. And actually, when you're actually working out during that time, when you have the cramps and all of that pain, working out releases endorphins into the body,
hmm.
which then helps to get rid of cramps.
Wow.
So it's a good thing you know, the physical activity is really important to do during your period and during all throughout the cycle.
Yeah.
It just has so many benefits to it that people just don't realize.
Yeah.
And it's just so cool.
So cool.
Now, seriously, the human body blows my mind. I mean, it always has. It's
right.
Like, it's amazing that it actually takes care of itself and it compensates for itself constantly.
Mm.
So think about this. Even when you have an injury, but let's say you have an ACL tear, like at the end of, the ovulation, the body compensates for that in other ways. So your body is constantly compensating for itself. It is the best machine ever created. I mean, things go wrong, obviously, but it compensates for itself constantly.
Yeah.
And it amazes me. It never ceases to amaze me. I mean, I can teach for another 35 years and I still know what I need to know about the human body because there's so much to know.
Yeah.
Like,
it's a mystery.
It is a mystery.
It really is.
And people are trying to figure out the mystery, and there's just new information to be had constantly.
Yeah.
And it's awesome.
Wow.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I just love it. I just love the body.
Yeah, Marie, that is so cool. Like you said, the human body is amazing. You know, I think as a society and as a culture, we tend to look at what's wrong.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. we look at those cramps or the mood swings, or, and we'll talk about all that and what that can indicate later. But really, you know, God designed the human body and the female body with a specific purpose, with mm-hmm. a specific design. And like you said, when we trust that, when we follow that, we really can thrive and can learn a lot. And yeah, it's been such a blessing for me to learn about my body and the beauty of my body and the beauty of those different phases that you just described, and how they relate to how I feel, how they relate to my fertility as a woman, and what all that means. So, you know, you a couple times have mentioned this concept of charting. So I don't know if our listeners saw this, but this past summer, you know, the women's national soccer team won the World Cup, obviously. And there was an article released afterwards that they had done some tracking of their cycles, so that they could understand, you know, similar to what we just talked about. I think you probably just went into a deeper depth, but, you know, they could understand, you know, when they were having their periods versus ovulating and what that meant. You've mentioned this concept of charting, and this is something you and I have worked on together, and I just absolutely love and thrive in doing. But can you just explain, what is charting? Why should we do it? What does it mean? The importance of it.
Okay, sure. Great. I'd love to. So what charting is the female would check her body, all throughout her cycle as to when she's ovulating, when she has her period and all this. So basically what it is this. As I mentioned before, the beginning of the menstrual cycle is when the female has her period and ends the day before the next. So what I do specifically, what I teach specifically, is called the Create Model Fertility Care. So with that system, what the female is doing, and again, Sam, the body's crazy. It tells you everything that's going on.
Mm.
It tells you everything that's going on. And I always use this analogy. For example, if you have a sinus infection, you blow your nose, yellow stuff comes out, you know you have a sinus infection because your body just told you that. Besides the pain, of course, but your body just told you you have an infection. Well, the body tells you everything that's going on if you just listen to it.
Mm.
So for example, all throughout the female cycle, she may release mucus, cervical mucus. People think, oh, that's kind of weird. But females listening, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, you have cervical mucus that's released all throughout the cycle. Sometimes during the cycle, it's not released. You're completely dry. Well, that's telling you something. Mm. If you're dry, your body's telling you something. If you have mucus, your body's telling you something. So in the beginning of the cycle, when the female has her period, there's naturally bleeding going on. Okay. And that's due to a drop in progesterone, which makes the endometrial lining, which is the inside of the uterus, shed, causing the period.
Yeah.
Okay? Again, it has to do with hormones, all progesterone. Okay? So progesterone drops, the lining sheds, you have your period. After those days, like 1 to 5 days of your period, then hormones change again. As I mentioned before, estrogen goes up, and your body's getting ready to ovulate. Okay? It's preparing itself to ovulate. So what happens when estrogen increases, cervical mucus then becomes thin and stretchy. So you think, okay, well, that's good to know, but what, how's that helping me? Well, if the female looks at her cervical mucus and checks it every single day, many times throughout the day, and there's a specific way you do that, it's just a matter of, you know, checking before and after you go to the bathroom, looking at the toilet paper. When you look at the cervical mucus changing, you know that your body's getting ready to ovulate. So, for example, if the cervical mucus after your period is thin and stretchy, you know your body's getting ready to ovulate. Well, what causes a mucus to become thin and stretchy is estrogen being released into your body.
Hmm.
When the estrogen is released, it changes the cervical mucus. So now you know I'm getting ready to ovulate. So for the person who's trying to conceive, they know that ovulation is coming, and that is a good time to try to conceive if they want to. If they're trying to avoid pregnancy, that's a good time to know that we're avoiding intercourse because we don't want to conceive at that time.
Right.
Okay.
Which is so cool.
The
body is naturally designed to know
exactly
when can I get pregnant.
Exactly.
These couple days is when I'm fertile.
Exactly.
Because of that cervical mucus.
Exactly. And your body's telling you that.
Wow.
Now here's something really crazy. Okay, for people who like are just blown away by how God designed the body. I was blown away by this too. So you ask yourself, okay, why is the cervical mucus stretchy and thin? Like, why is it like, we say lubricative, like, why is it like watery? The reason is for the sperm to swim through to get to an egg in a fallopian tube.
Mm.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Like, I never thought about that before.
Yeah, no.
But I know females out there know exactly what I'm talking about because they've experienced this lubrication stuff.
Sure.
This mucus. Now, when ovulation occurs, as I mentioned before, during ovulation, estrogen reaches its peak, okay? So as far as performance goes, good time for weight training. As far as fertility goes, you know you're fertile.
Mm.
You know during that time, my body's fertile. The cervical mucus showed me it was fertile. It was thin and stretchy. I'm getting a great workout in. I'm fertile.
Mm.
Okay. After ovulation occurs, what naturally should happen in the female human body is estrogen drops, progesterone increases.
Mm.
So when progesterone increases, this is crazy too, by checking the cervical mucus, you will see that the cervical mucus all of a sudden went from thin and stretchy because of estrogen,
mm-hmm.
now to thick. And you're like, why did that happen? Why is my mucus changing from stretchy to now thick? Well, again, it has to do with hormones. But it also has to do with the fact that, well, after ovulation, the egg sits in the fallopian tube for like 12 to 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
After that, if it's not fertilized, it degenerates. So the mucus becomes thick because at that point, there is no need for sperm to get through.
Mm.
So they don't need the aid of the cervical mucus to get through because the egg has degenerated. It's not there anymore.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
So people probably have noticed, oh, I have cervical mucus, it's thin, it's stretchy, it's thick, whatever, and never understood why that's happening in the body. But it's very specific. At a certain point during the fertile window, the sperm needs to swim through the mucus to get to the egg. But after that, if the egg's no longer there, then the mucus becomes thick because there's no need for sperm to get through.
Right.
And I never knew that before.
No.
And so I started like learning about fertility care. I had no idea that's why that happened.
Yeah.
But when you look at the way God designed it, it's like, oh my gosh, how cool and amazing is that? That happens, and I never knew why.
Yeah.
And I've been teaching this for 35 years.
Wow.
But I never knew that aspect of it. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
So then once the mucus becomes thick, you know, fertility is over. So for those trying to conceive, that's, you know, it's not going to happen after that point, mm-hmm. during the cycle. And then hormones change again, and then the period starts again, and the whole thing starts all over again. But it's all based on the hormones, and your body, through cervical mucus, tells you what's happening during your cycle, so you know exactly when things are occurring. So again, for the athlete to chart their cycle and to keep a watch on the cervical mucus all throughout their cycle, they know when certain hormones are being released because they can see it.
Mm-hmm.
So they know when to do their training and when to, you know, do the strength training and when to do the endurance training.
Mm-hmm.
So through your cycle and just checking cervical mucus, you can tell when things are happening, so you know when to train and how to train. And you also can tell when your days of fertility are and when you're not fertile. I mean, it's incredible what your body tells you.
Yeah.
Without having to put any kind of chemicals into it, you know exactly when you're fertile, when you're not. You know the best times to do weight training and best time to do cardio or aerobic. It's amazing just by paying attention to your body.
Mm.
You can tell all the stuff going on.
Yeah.
And apply it.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. It simply is mind-blowing amazing to me. And here's the cool thing, too. If you don't mind me, keep talking.
No,
here.
Please. I've heard this before, and I'm still learning cool stuff.
I mentioned to you before in the beginning of the program that not every menstrual cycle is the same every month. People think, okay.
Sure.
The cycle's 28 days long, halfway through, day 14, and I'll ovulate. Again, it's not true. It's simply not true. It's very unusual to have a cycle that's 28 days every single month. That's more unusual than usual. So, with charting and checking cervical mucus every day, as I mentioned, you can tell exactly when you're ovulating, when you're fertile, when you're not, best times to train, best times not to. But by doing the charting, you can also find anything that's going on inside the body that might not be functioning correctly. So, for example, a lot of women do not know. A lot of women will see this in their cycles and when they actually do charting. And with the charting, what I mean is you check your cervical mucus and you record every day what you're seeing. And there's a system that we use that makes it very easy.
Sure. Okay?
But when you check the cervical mucus, you might see that, gosh, I didn't have any cervical mucus this whole entire cycle. And my cycle is 35 days long. There was no mucus whatsoever. Well, when you record that with our charting system, you realize that, geez, I had no mucus. There is something going on there.
Yeah.
There's a reason why that's happening.
Mm.
Then there might be times where you have cervical mucus all the way through. All the way through your cycle, you check every day your cervical mucus, and it's thin and stretchy. You're like, what the heck? And you know, by the little bit of knowledge that you have, that, well, Marisa, my mucus is thin and stretchy. That's high estrogen. Okay, well, that's good. And you're thinking, okay, well, if I have high estrogen, she also said that when you have estrogen in your body, that's a great time to do weight training. So this is awesome. I can weight train all the way through.
Yes.
And just keep lifting all the way through my cycle. Well, that's not a good thing. It's called estrogen dominance, and that's not a good thing. Your body should not be releasing that much estrogen all the way through your cycle.
Right.
So something's going on. That could be a sign of something called polycystic ovarian syndrome. Which kind of most 50% of the time goes hand in hand with endometriosis, which some of your listeners might have or heard of before.
Sure.
So by doing the charting, we can figure that out. We can see that there's something going on here.
Yeah.
And we can associate it with some kind of malfunction.
Mm-hmm.
You might do the charting, check your cervical mucus every single day, and then see that, oh my gosh, I have like random bleeding here and random bleeding here. Well, that's not normal either. That means something.
Yeah.
Or you can check your cervical mucus every day and then realize after I have my period, I only have like 3 days of dryness before I have my period again. Well, there's something going on there. And most times, if you have dry days after ovulation, only two or three of them, where normally you should have 9 to 17 days of dryness after ovulation, but if you only have 2 or 3 days of dryness, then that's telling your body you have low progesterone. And people think, oh, okay, low progesterone, whatever.
Right.
Well, that's not good either.
Mm-mm.
Because if your body has low progesterone, that shows you a high risk of miscarriage.
Yeah.
Which is good to know before someone tries to conceive.
Sure.
So again, there's so many what we call biomarkers that we can tell by the female checking the cervical mucus every day and recording it, thus charting. Every day we can tell if there's something going on in the body that's not normal.
Yeah.
And then we try to get to the bottom of it. Why is that happening?
Yeah.
Instead of just covering up with the pill.
Right.
We try to figure out, okay, well, what's happening? Why is that happening? There's a reason why it's happening. So let's get it back on track. Let's get that cycle back on track normally.
Yep.
And correct it so that we can have a more efficient training program. Mm-hmm. And we can address any medical issues that need to be addressed. And we can have a normal menstrual cycle.
Yeah.
See, and most people don't realize this. Their menstrual cycle is not normal.
Mm.
Most people do not realize that. A lot of women will see brown in their bleeding with their period. A lot of people see brown. Well, that's a sign of low progesterone.
Mm.
People don't realize that either.
Right.
So there's so much that we can tell through charting and recording cervical mucus that it just opens up so much information to us that we need to address to have a healthy body.
Yeah.
And to have it work efficiently and to eliminate a lot of PMS symptoms that people don't realize that's low progesterone also.
Mm.
You know, if you have PMS symptoms 3 to 5 days before you actually have your period, like more than 3 to 5 days, then that's a medical condition.
Mm.
And you know, I feel bad because females like, I get these symptoms all the time, like 2 weeks before my period, and it's a nightmare. Well, you don't have to live like that.
Right.
Because that's not normal. If you have these cramps 1 to 3 days before your period, yeah, that's normal. But otherwise, there's something going on with your progesterone.
Mm.
And also, when you're feeling miserable like that, 3 to 5 days or more before your period, as far as the athlete goes, you don't feel like working out.
No, yeah.
You like want to stay in your bed.
Right.
But that doesn't have to be. Your body's telling you, hey, there's something going on here. Please check me out.
Yeah.
And take care of it.
Yeah.
You know, so there's so much that the body tells us that we need to be attentive to.
Mm.
Just, first of all, for fertility reasons. Second of all, to have a good workout program. And third of all, just to be healthy.
Yeah.
You know, because the body's designed perfectly. But again, things happen. So let's address those things and not just cover them up and say, it's the way it is. Yeah. It's not the way it is.
Right.
Or, hey, just take the pill and take care of everything. No, that just messes things up even more.
Right.
Just, it's a band-aid. It covers things up.
Yeah.
So, again, if we pay attention to our body, Sam, so much, we can learn so much and just achieve so much and just feel a heck of a lot better in general.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
Because God's amazing. I mean, he designed it perfectly. He's like, right. People, pay attention here.
Pay attention. I'm giving you a map.
I told you everything that's going on here. I'm showing you this stuff. I'm having this happen to you. You can see this coming out of your body for a reason.
Right. Right.
Isn't that cool?
It's so cool. Yeah. I mean, I have a friend who, you know, went to a doctor and, you know, had a little bit of an irregular cycle, and the doctor kind of said, why don't you go on the pill? And she ended up not doing so and charting instead, and found out that she was low on progesterone.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, if I had just stayed on the pill when I got married, it's very likely, she was very low on progesterone, that she would have just miscarried and never understood why.
Right, exactly.
You know, and I'll do blood work and you can kind of figure that out. But, you know, because she found out she was low on progesterone, you typically take supplements of...
Well, you can take bioidentical progesterone.
Okay.
That's what our doctor...
That's what she's doing, and, you know, completely healthy cycle. And so it's just fascinating. And, you know, and we live in this time. It's really interesting. We live in this time where we're all about the natural.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're all about organic foods and not putting, processed things in our body, especially as athletes. We want to be natural. Right. We want to be organic.
Mm-hmm.
But then... I'd say the vast majority, I don't know the percentages, of women and athletes are on the pill, which isn't natural.
Right, exactly.
Isn't natural. So let's talk about that a little bit. And again, you know, when we talk about the pill, there's probably a lot of our listeners who have gone to a doctor, who have prescribed the pill to them, who've maybe been on the pill.
Mm-hmm.
And we are not shaming anybody. We're not pointing fingers, exactly. Like none of that. Mm-hmm. But we desire to shed some light on... the seriousness of the pill, but then also kind of the alternatives, like you just said, of charting and of really addressing some of the problems in a more natural way, in a more specific way, rather than kind of just blanketing, I guess, would be the term.
You're right, yeah.
What they're...
It is now.
Yeah. it is now. But yeah, let's just talk a little bit about the pill and what you've seen, what are the side effects, what advice you would offer to somebody who has been on the pill. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe that's how that's affecting them.
Yeah. Okay, great, great. I'm glad you brought that up because it is such a big thing. And like you said, so many people are so health conscious and green, and they want all natural things, which is awesome. That's the way it should be. And there are times we need medicine, absolutely, for sure. But here's the thing. You just mentioned this too. You can't belittle anyone who's been on the pill or was on the pill currently, or even doctors who prescribe the pill, because the doctors that I work with all said that in medical school, they never learned about what we call natural family planning or charting. They never, ever learned about it. They were always taught just prescribe the pill because the pill is a fix-all. It takes care of everything. So when I talk to those doctors, I have one doctor said she went through 6 years in medical school. And when she went through the training that we go through with the Creighton Mall Fertility Care, she learned more about the female body system in one day of that class than she did in 6 years of medical school.
Wow.
Which is kind of scary because she's an OBGYN.
Yeah.
So that's very scary. So again, you can't really blame the doctors for prescribing the pill because that's what they were taught.
Mm.
They weren't taught anything else, any natural methods whatsoever. So the pill is prescribed for females for everything. You have acne, they prescribe the pill. You have headaches, the pill. You get cramps during your period, the pill. So birth control, the pill. Okay, so they're prescribed these things for every ailment they have. And all it is a band-aid to cover up the real problem. As I mentioned, if you have low progesterone or something going on in your cycle, there's a reason it's happening. So what is it? So the pill kind of tricks the brain and the body into saying, well, you don't need these hormones. So it suppresses something called gonadotropin-releasing hormone that's released from your pituitary gland and your hypothalamus to tell your ovaries that you don't need to release progesterone and estrogen. It's like, it's already there, you don't need it. So it's kind of tricking the body into saying, you already have these hormones, you don't need them. Well, think about this, Sam. If you're going to put something like that into your body, it changes your metabolism and it changes your biochemistry.
Mm.
So anytime you drastically change something that naturally is happening, just think about that in general. If you're changing something that's naturally going to occur, that can't be good.
Yeah.
If you're changing the natural process of something and masking it with something else, it's going to change your body. And I think a lot of women out there are coming to see the light, what the pill does to their body. And just some of the medical things it does. There's an increase in blood clots, increase in stroke, increase in heart attacks, increase in cervical cancers, increase in the risk of diabetes. It also causes adrenal and thyroid dysfunction, hair loss, missed periods. You can have really heavy periods, digestive problems, energy loss. So I don't know about you, but those things don't sound good to me.
Yeah. No thanks.
I mean, call me silly, but they just don't sound real good and appealing to me. So I think most people, once they realize that, hey, there's an alternative to this pill thing. There's an alternative, and it's called, you know, learning your body system and how it works and adjusting accordingly without putting this into your body.
Mm.
It just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
I mean, and again, most doctors, when they realize, because doctors are busy during their day, they're just writing scripts and so on. But most doctors, once they realize that, oh my gosh, I'm not really helping my patient. I think I am, my intention's good. I'm not really helping them by giving them the pill. So what else can I do to help my patient? And a lot of times it takes time to teach them charting, you know, what to look for in their body. So it takes time for them to do that, which is why they send people to me. I have the time to do it. But just to mask a problem and say it's gone, it's not realistic. Yeah. It's just not realistic.
Yeah.
It's just not healthy overall. And again, most females just do it because that's what they're told to do. And they think that's the protocol, so let's just do it.
Right.
But there's better things out there for them. Even diet, a lot of times. Diet is huge in the body. Diet, by changing some things in your diet, you can change PMS. You can change other things in your body as far as diet goes.
Wow.
So diet's huge. Another thing the pill does, it actually depletes the body of a lot of minerals and vitamins that are essential for females, like folate, B12. They're essential for the female menstrual cycle. But the pill actually depletes the body of these crucial vitamins and minerals.
Wow.
So, I mean, I know a lot of women who have been on the pill, and they said they felt worse on the pill. They were put on the pill for whatever reasons, and they felt worse. And once they came off, they felt so much better. So, you know, again, if someone puts me on something that's going to make me feel worse, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Right.
So there are so many natural things you can do and natural supplements you can actually take during your cycle to relieve PMS, to relieve certain symptoms, even to increase progesterone. There are natural things you can do. But people just are not aware of them because it's just not out there enough. You know, I believe people that have done their research, who really don't want to take the pill, or have done their research, have found these other alternatives.
Yeah.
These natural supplements and charting and so on and so forth. But, you know, unless they're actually motivated to do research and to look deeper into it, it's not presented to them.
Right.
And that's sad to me.
Yeah.
Females deserve so much more. They deserve so much more information that they're not given.
Right.
Which is just not right.
Yeah.
It's just not right. And, you know, the body is, like I said, it takes care of itself. So, you know, to try to kind of mask it and say, you know, take this. And not only a physical aspect, is the pill not healthy? It also isn't good when you're looking at your self-worth and self-esteem. Because a lot of people, you know, if we're going to, we're kind of getting off topic a little bit here, but as far as, you know, your relationships, your with your male relationships, if they think you're on the pill, then they're more likely to think, okay, well, you know, we can just do whatever whenever. And they don't look at her as a person, but more so as, you know what, like, you know, a sexual object type of thing. Well, and again, that's kind of getting off the pill. I mean, getting off the topic, but
no, it's true, though.
It changes people's outlook.
Yeah.
So, again, the female body deserves so much more.
Yeah.
The female soul deserves so much more.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So, again, there are so many more natural ways to look at, you know, correcting things in the female cycle. But the pill really isn't necessary. It's not necessary.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know any female who has taken it and been 100% happy with it.
Right.
And the results of it.
Mm.
And then I have clients who come to me who have been on the pill for many years and they've had trouble conceiving afterwards. Mm. Well, it's going to take the body a while to get back to where it was, you know, naturally. So they're all things that people need to consider when they're prescribed the pill. Look a little deeper into it. Do your research. Mm-hmm. You know, look at natural family planning methods. Look at like different methods of charting. Look at, you know, natural supplements you can take to take care of your problems.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just not a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's just not.
Yeah, and I hope, you know, for our listeners, I mean, you're probably in different situations. Maybe you're on the pill, maybe somebody's tried to put you on the pill. And that's happened to me. You know, I went to my OBGYN and described some symptoms I was having, and it made it clear I do not want to go on the pill. Mm-hmm. And their kind of conclusion, and this is why I've switched doctors, but was, well, then I can't do anything for you. Mm. You know, which is one of the reasons, you know, Marie and I have met and talked through my specific cycle and things. But, you know, let this be a message of hope for our listeners. You know, hopefully this is eye-opening. Mm-hmm. But wherever you are, you know, if you make that decision to come off the pill or to, you know, desire to chart and learn more intricately about your body, you know, this is maybe that time to do so. And it's a message of hope because, yes, the body is beautiful and can re-regulate, and there are answers, you know, and the beauty of this whole thing is every woman is unique and unrepeatable and beautiful, and so are our cycles. You know, mm-hmm. you said you know, typically no two cycles are the same. And by charting, by doing these things, we can really come to understand our bodies, understand our needs, understand our fertility, which is beautiful. And you know, we're going to put Marie's info in the show notes. You know, we at Fierce, we always desire to be a resource for our listeners. And we would really encourage you, if you want to come to understand your body deeper, your cycle deeper, learn about charting, learn about fertility, or learn about it for just the sake of teaching it to you, your kids, if you're a coach, to your athletes, you know, we want to be a resource, and Marie wants to be a resource for you, and I want to be a resource. So we'll put her information in our show notes. Again, you can also always email info@fierceathlete.org, and we can always direct things to her, which is awesome. But what I do want to just shift here to, Marie, is what happens when you lose your period? You know, so as athletes, a lot of times, I know this has happened to me in the past, and you know, I know it happens to a lot of kind of those more aerobic athletes, or athletes that are training really, really hard. You know, I think of distance runners specifically, but I know it happens across the board. You know, and it's been labeled, I guess, in the past as the female athlete triad, but you know, what is that telling us about what's going on in our body? And is that a bad thing? Is that a risk? And what should we be aware of as athletes when that is happening?
Yeah, good. I'm glad you brought that up, Sam. Yeah, there's something called, like you said, that female triad, which is, basically what happened when someone's working out, any female athlete, whatever, male athlete, doesn't matter. You have to make sure you take in enough calories to complete your workout, okay? What the female triad is basically it has to do with energy balance. Calories in have to equal calories out. So a lot of females, when they're training, will not take enough calories in, but burn more than they're taking in. So the equation is off balance. When that happens, that's not a good thing. If it happens on, you know, if you on Monday and Tuesday, you burn more calories than you eat, so be it. But if it happens consistently and you're not taking enough calories in and burning more, then your physiology starts to change. And again, here's where your body starts to adapt. So what happens is your body's adapting to this change and not releasing enough estrogen and progesterone, okay? So it's not releasing the good hormones because it's trying to balance itself in the, you know, fight or flight response. So cortisol is increased in the female body. Which is trying to maintain the stress of the body. So cortisol is being released, not so good. Estrogen and progesterone dropping, not so good. When that drops, the period stops. And people say, okay, well, I, you know, I'm a high intensity athlete. I work out consistently, so I don't get my period. Well, that's not a good thing. That's not a good thing.
It's oftentimes praise. It's yes, like, oh, praise. I don't have to worry about it. Thank God.
Exactly.
But
it's not healthy.
Good.
It's not healthy because you're throwing your whole system off, and that, you know, the metabolic rate changes, and your metabolism, you know, the metabolism changes and the hormone changes. That's not a good thing when you're adjusting, when you're changing your body. So the period is necessary. It's a necessary process of your body to get rid of things that should not be there, or dead tissue. Okay. Yeah. It's a necessary process. So with the energy balance, it's crucial that when someone is training, or just an average person who's not training, they have to take in as many calories as they're going to burn. That's essential. So they used to call it the female triad, which means that when your estrogen and progesterone drop and you don't have your period anymore, it causes menstrual irregularities. It decreases bone mineral density, which is crucial for females. Now, females in high school age, let's say a female in high school age, they're not concerned about bone density. They're not.
Right.
So when your estrogen drops because you're not having your period, then your bone density drops. They're like, oh, whatever, who cares? I'm, you know, 16, 17. But when you're 40, you're going to care because osteoporosis will set in a lot sooner. Okay, and that's not good either.
Right.
So with the triad, you have loss of bone density, irregular menstrual cycles, and also low energy levels, which makes sense because if you're not taking calories, you have no energy.
Right.
But like the Olympic Committee is looking further into this. Like, well, it's more than just that. It's more than just those three things, more than just a female triad. It's also has an impact on all the other body systems.
Wow.
Because, Sam, all your body systems are connected. So there's something called the homeostatic state. So when everything's working fine, your body is homeostatic. That's perfect. But when you drop estrogen and progesterone in your body's not in the homeostatic state. So it affects your endocrine system, your skeletal system, which has to do with the bones, right? It affects your respiratory system, your cardiovascular system. Everything's affected by this. So the Olympic Committee is looking at the whole picture. Okay, well, you're not, you know, you're not taking enough calories in to do your activity. Well, yeah, you have low bone density, irregular periods, and, you know, low energy level, but it's affecting everything else. So essentially, when I went to school, we call it the energy balance. Essentially, you have to take in enough calories to accomplish your workout. And when you don't, and you do that consistently, you burn more than you take in, then you run into also things like eating disorders.
Yeah.
Right now they call it disordered eating, where you go on these diets and you take in fewer calories and you're gonna burn. Like, it's called disordered eating. But when it gets to the point where it's consistently you're burning more than you're taking in, then you run into the eating disorders.
Yeah.
Which then is also, as a lot of your listeners probably are aware, it's also a psychological issue.
Yeah.
So,
and we're gonna actually have a whole other podcast coming up.
Awesome.
About eating disorders and the psychological side of it. And
awesome.
So, to our listeners, stay tuned. But, yeah, please continue.
Yeah, but it's just, it's a vicious cycle. So, females also need to be aware of this. You have to be extremely conscious of this. Because females are so worried about their weight and so on and so forth. And when you're working out, you know, you want to look good and so on. Which is all good stuff. It's all good stuff. But, if you're overemphasizing diets, and I have to go on this diet to lose this amount of weight and still work out, then that's when you start going down the rabbit trail.
Yeah.
And that's when you go down the rabbit hole and you start getting caught up in, oh my gosh, you're watching your calories too much.
Yeah.
And a lot of people get caught up in that. Don't allow yourself to go there. Because once you get caught up and worried about everything you're eating, and I got to work out more, that's when the cycle begins.
Yeah.
You know, just make sure it's you know, everything in this life is not complicated. It really, we make it complicated.
Right.
Just know that if I'm going to work out today, I have to eat so many calories to do that. And there are different websites you can go on to figure out how many calories you need. It's called your basal metabolic rate.
Right.
So if you go on different websites, you type in like your height, your weight, your activity level, it tells you about how many calories you're going to need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
There are a million sites out there now.
Yeah.
Like, seriously.
Apps. Sites.
Exactly.
Yep.
So just go onto those sites. Use those. Use that technology to give you a baseline of how many calories you need to do your activities and still function.
Yeah.
I mean, think about this, Sam. The human body needs so many calories just to breathe and to digest food.
Oh, yeah.
Just to do that. And to make sure you wake up the next day. And basically, you're talking a minimum of 1,200. Just to do that.
Right.
So if you're planning on working out, you know you have to take in more calories than that.
Yep.
So, you know, people get caught up in that, you know, I gotta lose weight, I gotta make sure, you know, this is happening. Just take in as many calories as you need to do your activity and still function.
Yeah.
Because the body will regulate itself. It will take care of itself.
Yeah.
You know, but that whole triad thing is just a lot of males have that issue also.
Sure.
They don't have the menstrual cycle problems.
Yeah.
If they did, that's another story. But, but you know, it's a major issue, and people are not really paying attention to it. I mean, you see a lot with long-distance runners.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Or even, like, I'm around a lot of people right now who are doing CrossFit, mm-hmm. and we have the ability to measure body fat percentage. Mm. And women need to be at a higher body fat percentage than men.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say is kind of that? Because that's what happens, right? Is
yep.
oftentimes if it's too low, and you were explaining it earlier, but can you maybe explain the fat and the hormones? And
right. See, people don't realize that the human body needs fat. One of the functions of fat is good. people say, oh my gosh, fat is horrible. Fat is essential for the human body. Mm-hmm. First of all, it's your most concentrated source of energy. And it helps to produce hormones, which is one of the major things that we're talking about today.
Yeah.
So you need fat to make estrogen and progesterone. You need it in the human body.
Yep.
You need fat. For a typical female in like between the ages of like 15 to 35, she needs about 17 to 22% body fat. People think, oh my gosh, that's too high. That's what your body needs to live, to do the jobs that it needs to do, to keep your body warm, to store vitamins and minerals, to make the hormones, to give you energy. That's what your body needs. So if you don't have that body fat to do those jobs, the body starts to break down. So fat is essential for the human body. But Sam, common sense comes in. Too much of it isn't good.
Yeah.
Too much of anything isn't good. Too little's not good. So that's why you really need to focus on that energy balance and taking in as many calories as you need. And there are a lot of good fats that you can take in. A lot of healthy fats, like an unsaturated fat is a fat that's liquid at room temperature. They're good fats.
Yeah.
So they're good to have in the diet and in the body. But your body needs fat to make the hormones, for the cycle to work, for it to do all the other functions that we just mentioned.
Yeah.
So it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing.
Right.
And people don't realize, you know, the essential need for fat.
Yeah.
And doing that body fat percentage is it's a very good thing to do. So you know exactly how much body fat you have, and you know, don't go below a certain point.
Right.
Or else your body's not going to function right.
Yeah.
You know? Yep. So that's cool you guys do that body fat percentage at your gym. That's really cool.
Yeah.
That's important stuff to know.
Yeah. It's been good to, just to make sure that I'm in a healthy place. And I've seen my body fat percentage drop, but again, it's not below that 17%.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's all about that health and that balance.
Right.
You know, and just a word of encouragement to our listeners, if you're sitting there like, well, shoot, I haven't had my period.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really would encourage you to talk to a doctor, talk to a nutritionist. Mm-hmm. Again, reach out to us. We'd love to provide you with some resources and and things. And, you know, it might take, beginning to really change your diet, maybe backing off a little bit on your training. I know I like almost like tense up at that. It's like if we have a college athlete who's just training hard, you know, they might not be able to do that. But again, there are certain supplements.
Mm-hmm.
There's certain nutrition. There's certain fats and proteins that you can maybe be supplementing your diet with, so that you can, you can be in a healthy place.
Right.
And if you're in a place where that seems overwhelming, even mentally, you don't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You're maybe caught in a cycle of disordered eating. You know, you might need to talk to somebody.
Right.
You need to talk to a professional. Again, we're going to have a follow-up podcast on disordered eating and eating disorders and things. And it's a serious psychological and medical condition that if you're struggling, or if you notice somebody struggling, because oftentimes it's hard to ask for help ourselves,
right,
we really would encourage you to reach out to a professional, to talk to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
There's great resources out there. You know, and we can often believe that, again, even just not getting our period is going to help us, you know, perform and not have to worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
But in the long run, and even in the short run, we have lower energy and we're not functioning to be the best athlete we can be.
Mm-hmm.
And so changing some of these habits we've developed, or the culture that we're around, because a lot of times it's a team culture, you know, or unfortunately instilled by coaches, you know, especially with, I know I've heard story after story of male coaches praising athletes for having low body fat percentage, pinching their sides and things like that. And that's just not a healthy view of the human body, because that's viewing the body as a tool that can run fast or perform a certain task. But the body is beautiful and complex. And as we've learned, this podcast has been designed by God beautifully to function. And we want to help naturally kind of aid that process.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm glad you brought the point too, Sam, about, you know, you might have to back off from your training a little bit. A lot of people were just so intense that mentally they cannot allow themselves to back off.
Right.
And that's going to be important a lot of times. That's a key part of making sure that your body actually stays healthy.
Yeah.
And keeping in mind also, the body needs to recover. You need recovery time.
Yes.
So as we talked about before, that the end of the cycle during the luteal phase is a great time to recover.
Right.
But the athlete who is training hard might have a difficult time doing that. So again, as you mentioned, they might need to seek help through a nutritionist or, you know, even a psychologist. All good stuff.
Yep.
We have so many tools out there that we have access to that we can use, that if somebody finds themselves in a situation where they're struggling and they just can't get off this, you know, the hamster wheel, there are resources out there. I know you're going to post it, that are awesome.
Yeah.
And we need to seek them.
Yep. And we need to be honest with ourselves mm-hmm. about where we're at. None of us are perfect. Mm. You know, I bet all of us at one point or another have had disordered eating, whether that's eating too much, eating too little, training too much, training too little, you know, irregular cycles, all those things. We've been there.
Yeah.
And again, it's about taking that next step forward, striving to honor our bodies, because ultimately they are a temple of the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
And they've been beautifully created, uniquely created. And so it's important to take care of them. And maybe we're learning a lot of this and hearing a lot of this. I mean, I know this and I'm hearing new things here. But you know, with knowledge comes power. And
yes.
Now that we've learned these things, it's time to take action and to learn more about us specifically. And again, I'll just reiterate, Marie is here as a resource. Please check the show notes for her information. We at Fierce are here as a resource as well. info@fierceathlete.org. We're here to walk with you through this. Absolutely. So as we wrap up, Marie, any just final thoughts, comments, pieces of advice? And again, this is, I'm sure, going to spark a lot of questions. We would love to maybe do some follow-up podcasts and dive deeper into, especially some of that, like,
that'd be awesome.
Fitness, performance, what type of foods to eat is really cool. We can go further into the specifics of charting. We can go further into, you know, we're identifying those problems in our charts. What do those specifically mean? How do we help treat them? But we just wanted to give our listeners a general overview today. But yeah, any just final comments, thoughts, pieces of advice?
Yeah, Sam, first of all, thanks for having me. This was awesome.
So fun.
I love this stuff. I just love talking about the body because, like you said, it's just so amazing and designed perfectly that, you know, a lot of times people like do things because somebody else told them to do it. A lot of times you need to also go with your gut.
Mm.
And Sam was kind of alluding to a little bit before. Make sure that, you know, when you're in prayer, talk to God about what he wants you to do with your body. And a lot of stuff is instinctual. Like, he'll tell you exactly what to do at that moment with your body, even as far as training goes. Like, when to stop and when to go further. Like, he actually talks to you about this stuff. I don't think people realize that.
Yeah.
But if you're in tune with Christ, he'll tell you exactly what to do throughout your whole day, throughout your whole training experience. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But just stay in tune. But just stay in tune with your body. Like, really stay in tune with your body and know what is going on inside the body. And one of the cool things I didn't mention before, which is awesome, I have couples that come into me to do the charting together, as you know, as a married couple, and they say they have bonded so much, and he understands her body so much better, and they have gotten so much closer through doing this charting. So not only does it put you in tune with your body, but it puts your spouse in tune with your body, and that's huge in any relationship.
Yeah.
So it's been cool. So just, you know, just my advice is pay attention to your body.
Yep.
Go with what the Holy Spirit's telling you. And if you need help, like Sam said, just seek the help because it is out there, and all of us at one point or another need help in something.
Yep.
So don't hesitate to look for it.
Amen. Amen. Cool. Well, thanks, Marie, for being here. It's been so fun. You can tell, yeah, just her passion comes through, and that's one of the, you know, this is obviously an intense topic, something that is taboo.
Yeah,
it is. And for many years, you know, people were encouraging me to chart and try this, and I was always just a little bit hesitant, you know.
Mm-hmm, sure.
You know, and now I'm dating, but I'm not married, so it's like I don't really see a need. Because it's always like, oh, that's for when I am going to get married.
Mm-hmm.
But no, what I've learned through you and just your comfortability, your passion for this topic and for the beauty of the human body is, one, it's amazing. Well, the human body is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But two, any woman in whatever stage of her life deserves to know her body.
Exactly.
And by learning about it for me sooner. I wish it had been even sooner. Gosh, I wish I knew this when I was a college athlete. It allows me to understand the nuances. It allows me to understand, you know, if there are things wrong, to get the proper help so that I can feel the best I can feel. Mm-hmm. But then also, you know, we all want to be the best version of ourselves in terms of athletics for athletes. You know, like, it's helping me be the best athlete I can be. And so that's just so, so cool. So, yeah, we just, again, encourage our listeners, reach out to us, reach out to Marie. And just thanks for having the courage to listen. And it's a great, fun conversation. Share this. It's, I think it's a really fun, approachable, scientific topic that I think all women need to learn. So we encourage you to share this podcast with your teammates, with your friends. You know, if you're a parent, with your daughters or sons, I mean, it's a cool understanding. If you're a coach, with your players, you know, let's just share the truth about the human body. But yeah, we thank you again for listening. We thank you, Marie. We ask that if you have any follow-up questions or comments, you would reach out to us, info@fierceathlete.org, because we would love to do a follow-up podcast. Please feel free to leave us a review on iTunes, on Spotify, to comment, to let us know what other topics, or specifically about this topic, you want, things you want to know about, because we are here for you, and we want to meet your needs. So thanks again for listening. Know that we are praying for you, and we will talk to you all soon.
Play fierce.
Pray fierce.
Live fierce.